tell us, think, a few weeks ago when you saw that breaking out in Israel that maybe this is it? Maybe he's coming, you know? And, you know, that kind of leads into what we're going to talk about tonight. You know, the next event on God's prophetic calendar is the rapture of the church. It's not if he's going to come back, it's when. He's coming back. And after the rapture, there's an event that's going to occur. That's the judgment seat of Christ. And so that's an event that's going to occur for everybody that's saved. You know, for those that are left on earth, that are left behind, that aren't raptured out, for folks that are lost, after the rapture, there's going to be 7 years of tribulation. And then Jesus is going to come back, and he's going to rule, and he's going to reign for 1,000 years. And so as we talk tonight through, we're going to talk about the judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to talk through how some of those events intermingle. So we're in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. We're in verse number 10. Did I say something wrong? 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Yeah. Okay. Amen. We're getting off to a good start. It's good. We're going to 1 Corinthians 15. Maybe it's 1 Corinthians 15. I mean, I don't know. I'm ahead of myself. I'm in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. All right. Is everybody there? Amen. All right. Well. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse number 10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." So for a few minutes this evening, I'd like to just do a quick Bible study on the judgment seat of Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessing on this time. Heavenly Father, thank you again for the opportunity to be in your house tonight. Lord, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be able to petition heaven for all these prayer requests. And God, we pray that you would just minister to each and every one of them, Lord, in only the way that you can. God, I pray that you'd just bless us during this time as we open your word. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to make much about you, Lord Jesus. And if there's one here that's lost tonight, God, let tonight be the night that they would accept you as their Savior. Lord, help me to say what I should and not say what I shouldn't. And Lord, we love you and we thank you for your goodness. And we pray all this in Jesus' name and amen. You know, judgment is something that every single person born into this earth is going to have to face. Hebrews 9:27 says, "And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." Everyone will face a judgment. And there are two different judgments in the Bible. You know, the one judgment is for folks that are saved. And there's another judgment for those that are lost. You know, Revelation chapter number 20 and verses 11 through 15 speak of the great white throne, a judgment. And this judgment will be for those that are unsaved. And it'll occur after the 7 years of tribulation and after the millennial reign of Christ. But the judgment we're talking about tonight, we're talking about the judgment seat of Christ. And that's only going to be for those that are saved and only the saved folks only. It's going to occur immediately after the rapture, and it's going to occur in heaven. Now, there's no specific verse that teaches that the judgment seat of Christ is going to happen right after the rapture and happen in heaven. But there's several verses that make the case for it. And so let's just hit a couple of those very quickly. Revelation 22:12 tells us that when Jesus comes back, he's going to bring his rewards with him. Revelation 22:12 says, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be." You know, another verse is Luke 14:14. Jesus himself says in Luke chapter number 14, that our reward will occur when we're resurrected. Luke 14:14 says, "And thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just." Another place, you know, the Bible tells us that each and every one of us will have like a position of rule and reign, which is crazy to think that I'm going to be in charge of something in for 1,000-year reign, and we all will be. But the Bible tells us that we're going to rule and reign with Jesus during that millennial reign. You know, that millennial reign will begin immediately after the 7-year tribulation. So, you know, our roles, our rewards will have to be given to us, so we'll know what our job will be during that millennial reign. You know, Revelation 5:10 says, "And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth." Revelation 20, verse 6 says, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power." Listen to this. "But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So we're going to have, but during that 7-year tribulation time, we're going to have what we're going to be doing appointed to us. So when the millennial starts, we'll be ready to do the job that God has for us. And the last one, Revelation 19, mentions a bride. And we know that bride is the church. You know, the marriage supper of the Lamb occurs immediately before Jesus comes back and steps foot on the Mount of Olives and reigns for 1,000 years. And Revelation 19:7 says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready," speaking to the church. And listen to verse number 8 here. It says, "And to her," the church, "was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints." And so these fine linen, clean and white, shows us that the bride has already received her reward. That's our reward, is those fine linen. So I'm going to turn your attention back where we started, to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse number 10. So the phrase here, we see the judgment seat of Christ that's used right off from the bat here at the beginning. That's translated from a Greek word, the Greek word bema. You know, the bema seat was not a seat of life. It wasn't a judicial seat. You know, and I think that's really important for us to understand, that the bema seat was a seat of reward, not a seat of judgment. And it's pretty obvious in the scriptures too that Paul was like in the sports. Like, he was a sports fanatic, right? I mean, there was places where he talked about running races, talked about wrestling. Like, you know, there's all kinds of places where Paul made several sports references in his writings, like running a good race. You know, and so Paul uses this bema seat. And the bema seat was where the umpire or the referee sat in the game or whatever they were playing. But the bema seat was also where the rewards were given after the game. And so I think it's really important for us to understand as Christians that the judgment seat of Christ is not really a seat of judgment in the sense of like our sins being judged. It's a place of reward for us. You know, the bema seat will not determine who gets to enter into heaven. The bema seat is not a place where we're going to be punished for any sins as believers that we have. Jesus took every single one of our sins, and he took the punishment for us on the cross. It's our sins were settled there when he died on the cross. When we get saved, our sins, whether they're past, present, future, our sins are forgiven. And as a born-again child of God, we will not have to answer for sins at the judgment seat of Christ. You know, the sin was dealt with, the penalty of the sin was dealt with at the cross. Now, as believers, he does convict us of sin. The Holy Spirit, the Bible speaks how we're chastised. So we're dealt with sin now. But at the judgment seat of Christ, we will not be judged on our sins there. And here's a few verses. You know, John 5:24 says, this is Jesus speaking. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me," listen, this is Jesus, "hath everlasting life and shall not come in to condemnation, but has passed from death into life." Hebrews 8:12 says, "And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." And 1 John 1:7 says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." Amen there. So if we're not going to be judged on our sins at the judgment seat of Christ, what are we going to be judged on? It's going to be our works. We're going to be judged on our works. So it's kind of like that the Olympics, you know, Paul's making these Olympic, you know, kind of referring to the Olympics with the bema seat. So it's kind of like the Olympics. The person who, you know, the people who get first, second, third place in whatever the sporting event they're playing, they get an award. Everybody else just gets nothing. You know, it's kind of that same kind of thing where, you know, they just fail to get a reward is what's going to happen. And so, you know, there's going to be sorrow, I believe, at the judgment seat of Christ. Not because sins are judged, but because we didn't get all the things. We didn't receive all the rewards that we could have received. In fact, some people are going to fail to get anything. Some people are going to be empty-handed and not get any reward there. So let's look back again at 2 Corinthians 5:10. It says, "For we must all," notice the word, "appear before the judgment seat of Christ,
that every, look at this, everyone may receive, look, the things done in his body according to that he hath done. So, you know, the word appear here means to be revealed. That our things, that our works will be revealed before God. And notice it says the phrases, things to be done in the body and things that hath done. Those are our works. You know, the things that we have done are our works. It's things that we have done. That's what it means. And so the works are going to be what's judged here. It's not the person. It's the works. And lastly, look at the phrase, whether it be good or bad. The word used, the word bad here, the word used for that means worthless. Our works, were they good or were our works worthless? So what kind of things could be considered worthless at the judgment seat? Well, things done with the wrong motive. Things done with the wrong attitude. Things done by our effort and not by His. Things done for selfish reasons. Those things won't be rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ. Because, you know, we can do the right thing for the wrong reason. Right. And you know what? But we can do the right thing with the wrong intent. You know, if we're doing something, and you think of the story where when they were dropping the money in, you know, and the lady came up and just dropped the 2 pennies that she had, and she gave all that she had and did it quietly, and you had people coming up and, you know, dropping money in, trying to make as much noise as they could, they had their reward, right? And if we're doing things for the glory and the praise of men, well, you got your reward there when you get that praise and that. You know, everything will be revealed at the judgment seat of Christ. And what's scary is when the Bible tells us that Jesus knows the thoughts and the intents of our heart. He knows why we do the things that we do. And so that is what will be considered at the judgment seat of Christ. Now turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. I don't know where I got 15 a while ago, y'all. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. I'm going to go back and watch it when I get home because that's going to bug me to death. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter. I really try to be careful, like when you're starting off, because it just, you know. It's like that one night I did a Wednesday night and tried to do a worksheet. You remember that, Brother Roger? It was a disaster. And then you were filling in on Sunday, and you're like, well, I ain't doing that. You remember that? Or maybe I did Sunday night and you were doing Wednesday, but it was a disaster. You remember that? Yeah, it was a... It was. Like, well, I thought I'd try to spice it up, you know. It didn't work. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. So how are our works going to be tested at the Bema seat? How are we going to be tested? How are our works going to be tried? Well, look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. We're in verse number 10. 1 Corinthians 3, verse number 10. It says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Now, notice this. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But notice this, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. I want you to notice there in verse number 11, you know, that our foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if you're not saved, nothing else matters. And it makes me think of that hymn, you know, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. You know, there's no other foundation for you to build your life on other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think it's important to note here again that it's not the believers, it's the believers' works that's going to be tried at the judgment seat of Christ. And I say that again because notice what Paul itemizes here in verse number 12. Paul gives us 6 different categories here of which like our works could kind of fall into. With the gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, our works will fall into one of those 6 categories. You know, the first 3 he mentions with the gold, silver, and precious stones, you know, these are things that fire can't destroy. Fire doesn't destroy gold, silver, and precious stones. In fact, fire doesn't destroy them, it actually purifies them. You know, you think about when they dig gold out of the ground, they melt it and scrape all the junk off the top, you know, and get the really pure gold. You know, those things, those works will be ones that will be able to stand up against the fire. You know, those works are permanent works. Those are works that are beautiful to God. Those are valuable. Those may even be works that are hard to obtain. But then Paul lists the wood, the hay, and the stubble. You know, these are things that the fire would easily consume and easily destroy. These are works that are like temporary things, ordinary things, things that may even be ugly to God, cheap things, things that are easy to obtain. But not only that, but this could even describe a worldly Christian who's wasted their entire life and done nothing for the Lord. All their works are going to be destroyed. All their works, they're going to stand before God and suffer a loss because they have nothing to offer the Lord Jesus Christ. So what are some areas of life that will be tested on at the Bema Seat? This is not an exhaustive list. I just put a few down. You know, number one, I think, is how we treat others. How we treat others is one of the things that will be judged on there. Hebrews 6:10 says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love, which ye have showed toward His name, in that ye have ministered to saints and do minister." You know, how we treat others, I think we're going to give an answer for that. But you know, when we get saved, God gives every single one of us a gift to use for His service. And I believe, you know, 1 Peter 4:10 tells us here that how we use that gift that God gives us will be judged on that. 1 Peter 4:10 says, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another." Listen to this: "as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Not only that, we're going to be judged on how we use our money that God gives us. Because everything that we have is from God. Every good thing that is cometh down, the Bible tells us in James. Everything that we have is from Him. We're stewards of it. 1 Timothy 6:17 says, "Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy." Now listen to verse 18. It says, "that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate." And that word communicate there means to share. We're willing to share. How we use our money, we'll be judged on it. We'll be judged on how we use our time. You know, Psalm 90 verse 12 tells us to number our days so that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Colossians 4:5 tells us to walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. We'll be judged on how we use our time. And then, you know what? We'll be judged on how we run the race that God has chosen for us. In Hebrews chapter number 12, verse number 1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses," listen to this, "let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." You know, instead of getting distracted with the cares of life and getting distracted with sins, Paul goes on to tell us in verse number 2 that we should be looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. That's how we run the race well, by keeping our eyes on the prize, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we run the race well. Those are the areas that I believe, and there's more. I didn't want to get bogged down in it, but those are some of the areas that I believe that we'll be judged at. So what are some of the rewards that will be awarded at the judgment seat of Christ? Well, one, I think there's going to be a lot. I think there's going to be many rewards. Because Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter number 4, verse number 5, he says, "Therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and make manifest the counsels of the hearts." And there it says, "and then shall every man have praise of God." So we'll get the praise of God there at that judgment seat for the things that we've done for Him. You know, if our motive is right, we're not trying to seek our own glory, there are things that we'll be rewarded for there at the judgment seat of Christ. You know, and one example that jumps out my mind is in Matthew 10:42, says that whosoever shall give a drink unto one of these little ones, a cup of cold water, and it says, "only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward." So he's saying, even if you give a cup of water in one of these disciples' names, you're not going to lose a reward. So imagine if we do it in Jesus' name. We'll be rewarded for the things that we do in heaven. and with the right attitude and the right intentions and the right heart. But then the Bible gives us five specific crowns that will be rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ. And the first one is the incorruptible crown. And that's going to be given to folks who master the old nature. 1 Corinthians 9:25, is if you want to write that in the margin of your Bible, is where it speaks of it. 1 Corinthians 9:25 says, "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." And then Paul goes on in verse number 27 says, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection." So those of us that keep our body into subjection, that crown will be for those that don't yield to fleshly lust. So that will be for Christians that aren't beset easily by those besetting sins that the Bible speaks of. But the other crown, another crown, will be the crown of rejoicing. And that will be given to soul winners. Those that we bring to Jesus one day, that'll be our crown of rejoicing. 1 Thessalonians 2:19 says, "For what is our hope or crown? I mean, what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming?" The third crown that we could be awarded is the crown of life, and that's given to those who successfully endure temptation. And that's found in James chapter number 1, verse 12. It says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." The fourth crown that we could win is the crown of righteousness. And that's given to those that are looking and longing and loving his appearing. That's found in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, verse number 8. It says, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all of them also that love his appearing." Now that crown of righteousness is going to be given to the Christian who has that righteous Christian life that's looking for Jesus to come back at any minute. Because you think about those that aren't living right for the Lord, they're not going to be loving his coming. In fact, there's going to be dread, fear, right? Maybe even hate, the idea of him coming back. And so for those that are living that righteous life, you're going to be looking forward to the coming. You know, like John said, "Even so, come." And the way the world's getting each and every day, I think we're feeling that way more and more. Come on, what are you waiting on, right? But then I think about folks I know that are lost, and it's like, okay, God, maybe just one more day, right? Maybe we can get a few more in, right? All right, and then the crown of glory, I guess it's mixed emotions. I don't know, I feel that way sometimes. And then the crown of glory is the last one, given to faithful pastors. And that's found in 1 Peter chapter number 5. It says, "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to them, or being samples to the flock." And listen to this, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." So, you know, the pastor is considered the under shepherd. And so, and the Lord Jesus Christ is the chief shepherd. And so let's go back for a minute. So when it mentioned the wood, hay, and stubble back in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, so what about that? What about the wood, hay, and stubble? You know, Paul tells us there in verse number 15 what will happen to the works that are burned. He says, "If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss." But it says, but he shall still be saved. I mean, he's still going to get to go to heaven, right? He's not going to get kicked out of heaven or nothing. But he's going to suffer a loss. You know, and there's some folks that believe that a carnal Christian can lose their works, you know, or lose their rewards, I mean, that they've earned. So you may get there and God's like, taking that away, sorry. I don't know, maybe. I don't know. But, you know, 2 John 1:8 says, "Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward." So maybe, I don't know. Maybe you might do good things and then God might take it away from how you act later on in life. Maybe, I don't know. But you know, really reading and studying about for tonight, you know, God's such a fair and just God that I kind of wonder if maybe by loss it means that He might just instead show you all the things that you could have had. You know, and He may not take the things away. You know, maybe He might reward the black backsliding Christian with all the things that he earned before he backslid. And then He might look and go, do you see all of that right there? That is all the things that I had for you. But you're not getting it because you did this instead. And so maybe that might be what the loss is He shows you what you lost out on and what you could have had. And so I really think that if that's the case, think about the shame that would come with that and the disappointment that would come from that, from standing before God and God just opening up a warehouse of things and going, look, you could have had all of that, but you ain't getting it because you did this instead. And maybe that's where some of the tears and the sorrows are going to come when we stand before Him at the Bema Seat. And honestly, it would be way worse, I think, than getting fussed at by God. You know what I mean? Like, you did this and this and this. Instead, Him going, this is what you could have had, Derek, but you ain't getting it. You know, I think that's way worse. So let's turn with me to Revelation chapter number 4. Revelation chapter number 4. Do you know what we're going to be doing when if we get any crowns, you know what we're going to do with them? Amen. Yeah. Revelation chapter number 4, verse number 10. What are you going to do with any crowns that you get? Revelation chapter number 4, verse number 10. Still here flipping. I'll wait on you. Revelation 4:10 says, the 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever. And look at this, y'all. And cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. You know, we see here that these people are casting their crowns at His feet. They're casting their crowns at the throne. You know why they're casting their crowns at the throne? Because they realize that the only reason they received anything whatsoever at all was because of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only reason they received anything at all was because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. And He bought the redemption for them. That is why they're casting their crowns at His feet. Because they realize it's all Him. Right? He's the one that gave us the power to do what we did, to work for Him anyway. And He's the one that made a way for us to even be there in the first place. And so we'll cast our crowns at the Lord Jesus Christ's feet. Can you imagine the day? Shoo! Make a shout on a Wednesday night in a Baptist church, couldn't it, huh? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. You know, and that ought to make us want to live for Him. And that ought to make us want to serve Him to the best of our ability. Because one day we're going to stand before Him. You know, that we have all that freedom as a Christian, but we don't have the freedom to sin. I mean, you can sin, but look what you're potentially giving up. Phew. You know, some folks down here are happy with just being saved and having their fire insurance, you know, down here on earth. They're content with that. But those folks, I think they're going to have a real time of regret when they stand before Him at that judgment seat of Christ. You know, the next event after the judgment seat of Christ is the marriage supper of the Lamb. You know, nobody likes going to a party without a gift, right? I mean, think about that. I mean, imagine how awkward it'd be and how awful you would feel that you're going to be showing up to maybe the greatest party that's ever going to be thrown in all of eternity, and you're going to be empty-handed. You're not going to have a gift for the one who deserves all honor and all glory. So we need to get busy serving the Lord. And we need to be praying that He'll help us to be faithful, because I believe He's coming again soon. I mean, I don't know about y'all, but sometimes I can feel it. You know, you can feel it, He's coming. You know, and you know, I know this is going out online, but if there's never been a time in your life that you've asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save you and forgive you of your sins, you're not going to be at this thing that we're talking about, the judgment seat of Christ. You're going to be at a different judgment. You're going to be at the great white throne of judgment, where the Bible says Jesus will look at you and say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. And an angel will throw you into the lake of fire where you'll burn forever. Now that's scary. Praise His name if you're saved tonight. And if you're not, come to Jesus. Do it before it's too late, because He's coming. and He's coming quick. Let's all stand together. Let's close in prayer. Brother Andy, would you please close us in prayer, brother? Would you mind? Amen. Have a great week.